for this morning in the bulletin is one that we'll use next week. I had intended to talk about our financial involvement and the budget and things of that nature this morning, and came to realize that we still have a large number of our families out of town, and decided to wait until next Lord's Day. I appreciate the comments that Brother Wilcoxon made this morning. I believe the budget figure is a reasonable one and a challenging one, especially with the promise of our elders to use what's above it for mission work and benevolent work. I want you to look at something for just a moment. Compare the figure of our budget to the figure just above it. 2 weeks ago, after we had had 50 weeks of contribution for 1992, we had averaged $61.30, and our new budget was just $20 above the old amount that is given during the year. And yet, after two Sundays more, our average dropped $33 per week in 2 weeks. I think all of us realize one of the reasons for this is the number of people out of town, and I'm sure that some was given ahead of time and other will be brought back. But I just wanted to point out to you what 2 weeks can do. In fact, in 1 week, our average dropped after the 1 week, the last contribution, by $19 per week for the whole year. Think about that and be thinking about your involvement in the work. And next Sunday morning, we will talk about if we abound in this grace also, from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll use also chapter 9. This morning is the first Lord's Day of 1993. It's the first sermon that I will deliver to you. Of course, we've already had the 8 o'clock service, but for this audience, this is the first sermon of 1993. After deciding that I would postpone the planned lesson until next week, I began to think, what is needed the most for the first lesson that is presented in 1993? I have decided to use this morning a one-word title, consistency. Consistency. Think about some possible scenarios for just a moment. It's New Year's Day. Alabama is playing Miami for the national championship, if you hadn't heard. On the 52nd play of the game, Barker, the quarterback, takes the ball and turns around to hand off to Laster, and Laster's not there. And he looks, and there sits Laster over on the bench. And after things have settled down a little bit, he goes over there and says, "What are you doing over here?" And he says, "Well, now I want you to know I was there for 51 plays, and I thought I ought to have the opportunity to rest on that 52nd play." What do you think would have happened? Now, Barker would not have been very much concerned if Laster had been injured and he'd had to send somebody else. He couldn't be in the lineup and somebody else had to take his place. That would have been different, but he just decided not to show up. In fact, if there had been many players on that team like that, I doubt that Alabama would be national champions this morning. And even though Gene Stallings is a New Testament Christian, and I have a great deal of respect for him, I suspect that at least his face would have gotten red as he talked to a player like that. It's April 1993. The Baltimore Orioles are to take the field for the first game of the season. They get out on the field and look, and lo and behold, there's nobody at the shortstop position. And they begin to look, and here's Cal Ripken Jr. sitting over in the dugout, and they go over to check, and he says, "Well, you know, I just got to thinking. I've played hundreds of games without missing one, and I just thought it was time for me to slow down and let somebody else take care of the responsibility, and I decided just to sit on the bench." What do you think would happen? Probably his salary would be lowered from $25 million to $20 million. I go home tomorrow night. Judy's not there. I get to check-in, and she's up at Pearl Warren's eating supper. And she said, "Well, I just didn't think that it was necessary. I've had supper ready 364 days, and I decided that it was time for me to do what I wanted to do and go somewhere else." You think I would be concerned? Your husband has come home from work every day for the year, and it's the last day of the year, and he doesn't show up. Are you concerned? In a week or two after school starts back, something happens and the flashing lights don't work. During the time the children are coming to school and leaving, there's a wreck, somebody's injured, there is a lawsuit against the company that's supposed to keep those lights working, and they say, well, now listen. They have worked for thousands of times, and just one time they didn't work. You ought to overlook this. Suppose someone decides, I've been driving on the right side of the road for years, and in some countries at least, they drive on the left side of the road. I think I ought to at least have the right, not be bound by some authority, get over on that other side of the road and drive if I want to. Those people associated with the commercial appeal in Memphis, who lost their editor because a drunk driver came across on the wrong side of the road and hit him head on New Year's Eve, realize the importance of consistency. Consistency. In Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 4 and 5, we have a description of the work of the church that was going on at that time that sort of sums up, I think, the consistency that's involved in what we want as much as any passage I know. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in numbers daily. Now, I just want to observe for a few minutes about three or four things from this passage and make application to our work today. Number one, there was consistent growth. In fact, a study of the first several chapters of the book of Acts will show 3,000, 5,000 men, multitudes, then the missionary journeys, and the church spreads and is established in different places. Then they go back and visit those congregations and confirm the work. There is tremendous growth. And as it is expressed here, you get that idea of consistency in two ways. One, spiritually speaking, and two, numerically speaking. The churches were established in the faith. You can just read between the line as you read that and throw in some other passages in other places and know he's talking about something that didn't happen overnight. They were established in the faith. That's a solid foundation that's firm and set. Established in the faith. Here was consistent spiritual growth. And then they increased in numbers daily. Daily growth. They increased in numbers daily. Oh, I wish at the end of 1993, if God permits us to be here, and it's unlikely that all of us in this auditorium will be here at that time, but I'd like to be able to say at the end of 1993 that this congregation increased in numbers daily, or maybe just to be able to say it increased in numbers weekly. At least there was regular growth throughout the year. There was consistency in growth. Maybe not like some reports that there were hundreds baptized or just a tremendous immediate growth, but there was consistent growth of people being added to the Lord's work. And I think you would agree with me that we would be pleased at the end of 1993 if particularly our elders could look at the congregation and say, you know, I believe that the members have grown spiritually during this year. And as we consider our work, we can truthfully say that it is established in the faith. We have members that continue to be more and more rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Consistency in growth. That's our goal. Number two, observe with me that in this passage there was consistency as far as the message was concerned. They went from town to town, but in every town they presented the decrees that had been established by the apostles. That's another way of saying they were presenting the Word of God. They were presenting the doctrine or the teachings, and those two words are used interchangeably. Sometimes we don't realize that. They were presenting the doctrines or the teachings of God that had been established by the apostles, who had been told by the Lord himself, whatever you bind and loose on earth is bound and loosed in heaven. They were consistent in their message. Suppose that when school starts back in a few days, the math teacher gets up and says to his students, "Now, students, you know that I've been teaching for years that 2 plus 2 equals 4. But now, in our modern time, we have decided that it's dogmatic to teach that 2 plus 2 equals 4. Now, I want you to know I still believe that, but I'm not going to teach it. Because we're going to be a little bit more lenient, and we're going to let people believe that 2 plus 2 equals 398 or equals 3. Suppose the science teacher gets up and says to his students, "Now, students, I've been teaching all these years that the earth is round, but you know, down through the history of mankind, there are those who thought it was flat, and we don't want to offend them, if there are any of them still available today. And so I'm just going to teach that the earth exists and let you draw your own conclusion about whether or not it's round or flat." What do you think would happen to those teachers? If I were superintendent, I'll tell you what I think would happen. Now, that's dogmatic to teach that 2 plus 2 is equal 4, isn't it? No, that's not dogmatic. That's consistency. That's consistency. Now, when the preacher gets in the pulpit and says, "Now, folks, listen, I've been teaching for years that baptism is for the remission of sins, but I'm restudying this thing, and you know, there are a lot of people who are baptized believing it's not for the remission of sins, and I just don't want to say that they don't receive the benefits. I don't want to be dogmatic on this. Now, I want you to know I'm not going to teach that I still believe the other, but I'm just not going to teach this." Or maybe he would say, "I'm going to teach it here while I'm at Henderson, but when I go out in one of the meetings, especially an area where there's a lot of questions about these things, I'm going to back up and I'm going to be just a little different in my approach." What do you think would happen? If you don't know, just look at the Brotherhood today and you will see what's happening. Brethren, we've got to be consistent in our message. With God, there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. We've been singing about the grace of God in most of our songs this morning. I can tell you this morning without stuttering that God's grace is just as wondrous and infinite today as it was 1,000 years ago. It's consistent. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is just as powerful a Savior today as he was on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Consistent. His word will never pass away, Matthew 24:35. It liveth and abideth forever, 1 Peter 1:23. It is forever settled in heaven, Psalms 119:89. Don't add to it or take from it, Deuteronomy 4:2, Proverbs 30:6, Revelation 22:18. The message was consistent. And no change in modern times will change that which is unalterable. And we need the consistent message 52 weeks of the year 1993. And we need it to be consistent wherever we go, whether I'm talking to your face or I'm away from you, whether you're talking to my face or away from me, we need the consistent message. Notice in this case, in every city. It is said of Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:17 that he taught the same thing everywhere in every church. Oh, the details and the approach may have been different because he was all things to all people to win some. But as far as his message was concerned, it was Jesus Christ and him crucified wherever he went. Consistency in message. And then there is indicated in this passage that there was consistency in action on the part of Christians. There couldn't have been growth if they didn't have it. God's word teaches us that the early Christians assembled daily in Acts 2:46. And they were told to assemble and not forsake the assembly in order to exhort and admonish one another in Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Do you think God meant by that assemble if you don't have something else you had rather do? Or did he mean consistency? Fried Hardeman baseball team has a doubleheader scheduled on the same day, one right after the other. Now, after the first game is completed, it's noticed that several of the players, especially those who are not to be involved in starting the second game, are walking away from the field. And somebody says, wait a minute, we thought there was a doubleheader. Oh, yes, but we've already been to one game. And after the first game is over, it's noticed that some of the players are walking up. They were not there for the first game, but they wanted to at least be there for one game on that day. What do you think the coaches would say? And what do you think God thinks this morning when we had a doubleheader? And some of you only came to the second game. We say to the denominational world that we believe the Bible teaches we are to observe the Lord's Supper on every first day of the week. Acts 20, verse 7, in the setting of a background that emphasizes that. Folks, what some of us really believe is we ought to observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week unless we have something else that's better that we want to do. Unless company comes and I have to stay at home to prepare a meal. Or unless, especially since I haven't missed in 51 times, I decide I want to go fishing and miss the Lord's Supper. Reminds me of the two fellows who were fishing on Sunday morning, and one looked over at the other one and said, it's time for Bible study to begin. And the other one said, I couldn't have gone if I was at home. My wife is sick. What do we really believe by our practice? Back in October, I was away for the first 15 days of the month. The time for my house payment at an institution in this city came due during that time. I was at another bank in another city, and so I reasoned, since I'm here at another bank and they need money as well as the bank at home, I'll just make my house payment here at this bank. Do you think I would have had problems? Brother Oldham was gone to Russia for almost a month. And he reasoned while he was gone that I'm in Russia, I won't have to pay my utility bills in Henderson. Because, you see, there's all those other people there in Henderson that will pay their utility bills this month, and they'll take care of the responsibilities. I'm over here in Russia. I'll just give it to the utility company over here if they have one. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? But, folks, to me, when I read God's word and see that the common store is in the local congregational sense, it makes just as much sense to me to do some of these things I have just said as it does for me to reason that I have no obligation to this congregation if I'm somewhere else. And if you will look at what I pointed out a moment ago, you can see what one Sunday means. just one Sunday. What we need is consistency. What makes your job and your paycheck on your job important is that it's there regularly. It may not be as much as somebody else's check. But if you know that every Friday, or if you're paid by the month, at the end of the month, and even those of you that are drawing Social Security checks now, if you don't believe they believe in consistency, you try to get through downtown Henderson on the day the checks come in. Consistency is what we need when it comes to our financial support of the church. Pray without ceasing. And yet do not some of us, notice I said us, sometimes get so busy with the affairs of this life that we don't even stop to take a little time to talk to God. They searched the scriptures daily in Acts 17, verse 11. And yet how many of us and in how many of our homes are there days that go by even though there are children in the home and God's book is never opened? And sometimes on Sunday morning, children begin to hunt for their Bible or their Bible class book and don't even know where it is. Consistency in our prayer and in our study. Early Christians were meeting together in fellowship with one another daily, Acts 2:46. Could it be that one of the reasons sometimes we are disappointed and discouraged is because we go so long without having that spiritual encouragement that's to be given within the body of Jesus Christ? And could it be that our lack of faith sometimes is because we have not consistently fed our faith with God's word and encouraged each other, especially in praying one for another? Consistency. Diabetic is told by the doctor, you take a shot of insulin every morning, 365 days of the year. On the 365th day, the person reasons, I've taken this shot 364 times. I don't see that I have to do it again today. And doesn't take the shot, what will happen to that person before the day is over? Folks, we can understand these things when we're talking about diabetes. We can understand it when we're talking about business. If we're going to have the consistent growth of the church, we've got to have the consistent involvement, especially in our praying with one another and our service to one another. Consistent teaching. I sat daily with you in the temple teaching, Jesus said. Consistent living. If any man would come after me, let him take his cross, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Not almost every day, not most of the days. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. We need consistent growth, and if we have it, we've got to have consistency in our message and consistency in our actions. Consistency. And I think we understand it in every area unless it is the spiritual area. For almost 40 years now, I have stood in a pulpit somewhere almost every Lord's Day of every year, and I have consistently said to the people, there's a God in heaven, there's a Savior that exists, the Bible is His Word, and God's grace and mercy is enough to take care of all our sins. And we still need that message. I have, with almost no exception, said somewhere in the message, usually toward the end, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, or you must believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of sins. If you've done that and gone astray, you must repent, confess, and pray one for another to receive forgiveness. And 40 years later, I'm teaching exactly the same thing. We must have that consistency. Because if we're going to take advantage of the consistency that's in the promise of God, we must turn to Him in the consistency of obedience that He expects. Our success as a congregation depends on consistency. And our salvation as individuals depends on the consistency of God's forgiveness and the consistency of our submission. If you're not a Christian or a wayward child of God, you need to obey that consistent message as together we stand and sing.